it can be really helpful to look at these dynamics like old money versus new money and look at yourself and relationship to them. Look at what the gifts are. Look at what maybe needs to be released in terms of a thought process or a belief system, so you can actually create something that works for you. Abundance is an inside job, and your intuition is the key to unlocking it all. Hello, hello, folks. Welcome to the Intuitive Abundance Podcast. I'm excited to be here with episode 61 of the podcast. And today we're talking about old money versus new money. I really wanted to talk about this, ironically, because I'm actually a mixture of both. But I want to unpack this for people to help them understand a few nuances and a few things that are really important in regards to your own money story. Everybody has a money story, no matter where you have come from and whether you would consider yourself old money or new money. But I want to talk about some of the differences because it can be really helpful in regards to people's attitudes towards money, and for yourself to learn and discover what are good attitudes to adopt when it comes to money. So I think probably one of the most obvious thing in regards to old money versus new money is the source of wealth. So old money is often generational, i.e. it has been passed down from generation to generation, where new money is often formed in a person's lifetime. Maybe they're the first person in their family to have become a millionaire, or maybe they've won the lottery or something like that. So really to understand that generational wealth means it's been passed down from, say, great-grandparents to the grandparents to the parents to the children, whereas new money is being created in that generation. Maybe that person is the first person in their family to have created that. And really to start understanding why would we even want to have a look at this? Because again, it comes back to attitude. You know, like if you were looking towards the United States, then some of the people who would be considered old money would be people like the Rockefellers or the Vanderbilts. Those names are usually pretty synonymous with generational wealth, the handing down of property, investments, and wealth generation to generation. And then, of course, then, you know, like new money, people would probably be able to quite easily identify that might be somebody like, I don't know, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, the Kardashians. Again, even though there has been some generational wealth for the Kardashians from Chris to her children, but they in themselves are all more new money because they've created massive wealth for themselves in their own lifetimes. So understanding this can be really helpful too, because again, everybody has a perspective on this. You know, for example, new money might be more associated with being an influencer on social media, whereas old money, it's more generational, like they're having family conversations about wealth preservation. So one of the main differences probably is tradition. People who come from old money, they have a tradition often around it. Inheriting wealth comes with responsibility. You know, old money recipients really have to protect the family wealth to be able to give it on to their children. And we all know stories of people who have inherited money and then, of course, they've lost that money. So there's no guarantee with old money that that money is still going to continue to be given to the generations below. It really comes back to the individual and how they're actually choosing to show up and be in relationship to it. But of course, if you're new money, then you're going to be really the first person often in your community. So you're going to be the person who actually is creating the traditions, especially if you're creating an amount of wealth that you are going to pass on to your children. You're going to be the first person who really starts creating the traditions of how that money is spent, you know, like whether you decide that property is a good investment or whether you think that the share market is more important. You're going to be the first person who's actually identifying that and then creating that in your lifetime to be able to pass that on to your children. So new money can become old money after a few generations, because obviously that wealth is being inherited by children and your children's children. There's often quite a few differences though too in terms of how new money spend money. Like generational wealth, they've got a different approach to wealth management. Generational wealth can often be way more frugal. That doesn't mean that they don't spend a lot of money, or they don't spend money that, you know, on property or cars, etc., but they're probably not so excited by it, shall we say. They're not so interested in showing other people how much money they have. With new money, people are often very excited about having created this and very interested in sharing that with other people as a form of validation sometimes, but also recognition. Look what I've created. Look what I've done for myself in terms of how they spend their money. So people with older money, they're, you know, like again, it's a stereotype for sure that they're more interested, but they're probably, because of generational wealth, there's probably maybe more antiques or more pieces of art or more things maybe possession-wise rather than courtside seats at a basketball game or a garage full of luxury cars or bright shiny objects. There's going to be some different philosophies there in terms of how money is spent. And that's not to say that people who create new money invest in different ways. I mean, there are multiple different options out there, but they might be doing it for different reasons, so to speak. They might actually make more riskier investment decisions rather than longer term holds, for example, because they're not always necessarily thinking from that construct of, I have this wealth creation, so therefore I want to pass it down to the next generation, and I want to make sure that that is protected. So often generational wealth or older money is they will stick probably more to the tried and true. They'll have their financial advisors and stick with them for a long period of time, like often for a lifetime. And again, you know, like if there's an opportunity, they would pass their children onto the same advisors. And again, often there can be differences in how old money, what they do in their free time, right? And again, some people, again, this is total stereotyping, but you know, what activities older money does versus new money because of the opportunities. And also too, the people that they're hanging out with, like if you are from generational wealth, there's a good chance that you're probably going to know other people who also have generational wealth and to be that person who is associating with more people. And again, they often have their own traditions and the way they like to spend their money versus new money, you know. And of course, there's often the idea sometimes that old money can be looking down their nose at new money, but it's often because they just don't have the same traditions. They don't spend their money in a different, they spend their money in a different way. New money is often more excited and kind of like, oh, look at me about it. Whereas old money is just more comfortable with the fact that money has always been there. And but interestingly though, like a lot of the world's richest people come from new money. You know, the Kardashians would be up there, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, again, new money, like crazy amounts of money. So often too, right, this is public perception in regards to the lifestyle these people have for themselves, what they're choosing to do with their money, and also too, the influence that they have. Sometimes too, like the lessons from generational wealth is it's not always so easy to protect generational wealth. You know, old money is definitely, people would say that that's a privilege. Absolutely. There's no denying that. But often too, like old money, people can lose money generation to generation. So old money families work hard to make sure that that money is protected, not just for themselves, but their focus is probably more on their children rather than on themselves, if that makes sense, right? They want to make sure that their assets and their investments are protected for the next generation. So again, you know, like you can lessons that you can learn from this is that many people who come into wealth quickly, they don't always necessarily have the skill set to be able to make sure that their money is being managed in a very effective way. Money does require responsibility. Having worked in banking and working in private banking, working for high net worth clients, there is education that is required to make sure your money is working for you. You know, like it is easy to get swayed by the new bright and shiny things like cryptocurrency or something like that, for example. And again, new money might be more interested in exploring that because it's a new experience. They're having the new experience of new money. So something new like cryptocurrency can also be in alignment with that, which is where old money might tend to shy away from that because they're more in the energy of protecting it for the next generation and staying in the energy of those traditions. Right? And again, it's interesting just to reflect on the differences and know these stereotypes. And of course, everybody, you can't put people in one or the other. Like myself, for example, my family definitely has generational wealth. And once upon a time, though, I actually used to feel quite ashamed of that. I used to feel ashamed of the privilege that I experienced. I used to actually feel separate from other people, and I didn't actually love that. I felt like the money kind of put us in a place where we were separate, and I had some shame around that I had to work through. And this is the thing. I think a lot of times people can make the assumption that having old money is automatically to your advantage. And I get it because a lot of people can say, well, you've got money, so therefore you're safe or you're secure. Now, with my immediate family as well, we definitely lived in a big property, which is amazing, but, you know, there wasn't always amazing cash flow. So we were asset wealthy, but not necessarily cash wealthy all the time. But also, too, what would be interesting about that is other people's perception, because they would see that you lived in a big house. And they will automatically assume that you were loaded. And it was always really interesting to see people project their thought processes around that onto you. And you, of course, as the insider, knowing, well, perception is reality for you, but this isn't necessarily the reality that we're experiencing. So it's always really interesting when it comes to money, especially when we're looking at things like old money versus new money. But oftentimes there can be tension and rubbing because of people's value propositions. So new money is going to value money in a different way rather than old money that comes from all that tradition. And as an entrepreneur myself, you know, I'm kind of in the new money category as well, being a person who stepped out and is making my own money, doing my own business, and not adhering necessarily to that old money wealth mentality. So, and again, I'm in a unique position as well because I don't have children. So it is literally myself that wealth creation is actually for and will be determined by, of course, who I give my money to when I pass in terms of having created it and wanting to protect it for them. But there's a slightly different dynamic for me because I'm kind of a bit of both. And that there's lessons that you can learn from both of them. And this is really what I wanted to share on this podcast, that just because you have money doesn't always mean that that's to your advantage. I actually had to unlearn a lot of my money story, like I said about shame around having money, in order to feel comfortable about claiming and giving myself full permission to go out and create it as an entrepreneur. So you might think that, oh, that's great that you had this money, but it actually the belief system had to be worked through in order to be able to go out and put myself out there. And a lot of people, you know, like I've looked at it before and thought, you know, it might look a particular way, but the belief system isn't necessarily supportive of you actually getting the outcomes that you want. So in some ways, it's taken even more work to deconstruct those belief systems. I guess, too, and some interesting things that I have seen in regards to generational wealth or old money, as you would call it. I've seen people with old money behave really badly. So, again, that doesn't necessarily contribute to feeling like money is necessarily safe. People being very competitive. People deciding that money determines their value, which it does not. So there have been pros and cons from both sides of the coin. I've seen things where people will say, you know, like your money is a reflection of your self-worth, but that's not true often when it comes to old money, because there are a lot of people who have generational wealth or wealth that has been inherited, and they do not have a very good self-esteem or self-worth. So when we apply that as a code, it doesn't actually work. It's not true when it comes to the old money, because I know a lot of people, and I experienced a lot of that too when I was working in banking, because some of those people were new money and some of those people were old money. When we worked in private banking for people who were multimillionaires, it doesn't necessarily determine somebody's self-worth. Like, I learned that really quickly. There would be people that we would visit who were actually really unhappy people. Like, they had a lot of wealth, and some of that was new and some of it was old, but it didn't necessarily determine how happy they were or increase their happiness. So we have to be really careful, I guess, with what our belief systems are around money, and know that just because money is present and available, that doesn't always mean that it's creating a healthy belief system, which is why it's so important for us to do the inner work to be able to create the belief systems that do work for us. You know, and again, a lot of times I think in new money and the wealth creation, in a lot of ways, that activates even more consumerism. With new money, there seems to be a stronger desire to prove I'm worthy, to prove I can buy this expensive handbag, to prove more materialism. Whereas in old money, that's not so much at the forefront. There's no need to prove. The money is already there. There's no need to prove it to other people. In fact, in old money, in my experience, proving is almost vulgar. Like, that's how it was considered, that it was vulgar to try and prove to people how much money you had. That was kind of vulgar to talk about how much money that you had, period. So often too, with people with wealth is generational, there's more closed doors in regards to how much that money actually is. And again, that's also too for privacy reasons. So it's really interesting to kind of look and have a conversation about old money versus new money, and also kind of the energetic structures underneath them, and realizing some of what old money is about is great, and some of what new money is about is great, but they both have the light and the dark in them. They're not necessarily one being better than the other, depending on your experience, of course. And I feel, as a person who's kind of experienced both, that there is no one that is better than the other. But what you do want to do is you want to take the aspects from old money and from new money that are beneficial, that do work for you, and go and create out your own unique flavor. I'd love to hear from you if you're from an old money background, and if how you found that and how it's influenced your money story. And if you're a new money person, if you're a person who's created wealth independent of your family circumstances, I'd love to hear from you as well in regards to what you think the biggest thing is about that. Because one of the things as well, and I've literally been on the receiving end of this, which has been really interesting, is a lot of people really love the rags to riches story, that somehow that's even better, right? Because you started with nothing and then you've created something, which is really the new wealth formula. So to be the person, like, everybody loves that story of having nothing and creating something. But I think in some ways it's really interesting to look at this dynamic of having something and then maybe needing to deconstruct that, so you can be the person who's creating from nothing and turning it into something. You know, when I started as an entrepreneur, it was an earthquake situation. Like, we'd had some earthquakes here in Christchurch, and the insurance company had paid out a whole bunch of money to pay for rent while my house got fixed. And then the person I was going to rent from turned around and said, I've taken somebody else because they were charging them more rent. And I actually ended up living at my parents' place for 6 weeks while they were overseas and had this money in my bank account, which helped me to start my business. But again, if you were looking at it, I was really starting from nothing, you know, and I've had people say things to me like, well, it's all right for you. You know, you've got wealthy parents. But they're also underestimating the fact that they don't know whether my parents would lend me money or not. They're just making the assumption that because my parents love me, that they would. And that's not necessarily true either. So it's really interesting kind of being in both sides and kind of going, what is your reality when it comes to wealth creation? What are you making it mean? How can you look and evaluate what is unfolding in your reality and getting really clear on these kind of influences that we have, depending on how you grew up, right? For me, I've actually had to deconstruct a lot of older money beliefs to be able to create space to have new money feel easier, which is obviously the money that I've really created for myself through my business. They're both equally important to me. In some ways, the new money aspect is even more important because it's about me being able to create that free and clear and independent of any financial support from my family. Have I borrowed money from my parents in my business? Yes, I've borrowed $5,000 off my parents once and I paid it back. So it's good to be in the person who has the integrity to go, I've created this myself, but what's important to you in regards to your value proposition? You know, like one of the things that I know a lot of people talk about when they actually become wealthy, and is very true, is the wealthier you become, almost in a way, the less meaning it has, or the less hold it has over you, because you trust yourself more in terms of creating it, rather than the needing the money to mean anything. Needing it to mean that you're valuable, needing it to mean that you prove yourself to somebody else or to even yourself, right? Money takes on a different meaning. And I think that's a really good thing too, in terms of the spiritual pathway, to realize that your soul doesn't really care about money. It's only your ego that's really invested in how much money there is, because your soul already knows you as limitless. But a beautiful thing that has happened, I guess, for me on my own journey is to understand that the wealthier I become, the less attached I am to the money. The more I am invested in my own happiness and being in a vibration and a frequency that really works for me. But it can be really helpful to look at these dynamics like old money versus new money and look at yourself in relationship to them. Look at what the gifts are. Look at what maybe needs to be released in terms of a thought process or a belief system, so you can actually create something that works for you. And again, a lot of people will probably be operating maybe somewhere in between, because often when somebody passes, there will be some kind of inheritance, you'll receive some kind of money. But again, being the person who's willing to work maybe both of these aspects. If you come from a family that doesn't have any generational wealth at all, in a way that can be even more motivation in terms of going out and creating new money for yourself. But whatever it looks like, it's going to be your own unique path. And you really want to understand who you are in relationship to these kind of influences. Because again, I think it's so important to know yourself in relationship to your money journey. Money is just the personification, really, of value and how we are being in relationship to our own value. The more we value ourselves, the easier it is for money to flow into our life and world. And that's obviously not just from the ego, but definitely from the soul, because your soul knows that you're always taken care of if you choose to align. It's only when we go against ourselves or shun our true nature that we start blocking our abundance. So, the path to enlightenment, you know, abundance really involves the path to enlightenment, because you don't want to create money and end up feeling dissatisfied. You want to have wealth and the satisfaction of knowing that you are really vibrating in a frequency where you are loving your life, you are loving your reality, and you have created it that way through conscious choice. So even understanding these dynamics of old money versus new money can be so beneficial in going, who am I in relationship to this? And who am I choosing to be, even more importantly? All right, folks, I hope you've enjoyed that information from today's podcast. Looking for yourself, I'd love to hear from you. Are you old money? Are you new money? How do you feel about it? What do you think has been the plus or the minus of being old money or new money? Do share with us over in the Facebook group, especially Elegant Wealth. We do a free training there every week where you can come along and ask me questions and get feedback in regards to your own wealth creation. Super fun place to hang out and be in a community of people who are also doing the same, helping to embody their abundance to create a life that they really love. In the meantime, I'm sending you so much love and light. I'll look forward to connecting with you again in the next podcast. Hey folks, thanks for listening to the show today. It is always a pleasure to have your company. Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss the show. And if you found this information beneficial, please do write us a review on iTunes especially. That really helps other people to find this information, and we would very much appreciate that. If you would like to connect with me directly, the best place to do that is www.rebeccadavison.life. That's L-I-F-E. Davison is spelled D-A-V-I-S-O-N. If you'd like to connect there, we can have a conversation about what it takes for you to activate your inner power proposition and to be able to create the income levels that you desire. From my heart to yours, I very much appreciate you tuning in and listening. I'm sending you so much love and many, many blessings. And I want you to know that everything is available to you. You have the power within you, and that's the best place to look. Sending you so much love and many, many blessings. Till next time. Bye for now.